You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 3. God bless you. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on walking and talking with God. Walking and talking with God. And in Ephesians chapter 1, once I get there, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So God has chosen you and me before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption or sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of what?
His will.
He wanted to do it. Right? He called us from before the foundations of the world to be his kids because it blessed him. He wanted to do it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Right? So he's made us accepted. In God's sight, we're accepted with him and with one another. And God, from before the very foundations of the world, knew that you and I would believe. He chose us, right? We're his chosen people. The first thing that we want to recognize when it comes to walking and talking with God is that he chose us, right? He chose us. That's really important to think about and to recognize, right? It's really hard to fellowship and to walk and talk with somebody who doesn't want you around, right? God didn't want us around. It would be really hard for us to have a relationship with him. But he chose us, right? He made us accepted, right? He's the one who made us acceptable. We're his kids. It's what he wanted. The whole reason for all of this, for sending us his son, is so that we could be a part of his family. So that we could be God's kids, right? So if we're going to walk and talk with God, we've got to recognize that that's what he wants. He wants a relationship with us, right? He's not some, you know, entity up there looking down on us and judging us, right? God wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to be around. Go to 1 John chapter 1. And a lot of people don't even realize that's how God feels, right? That he really loves them. Most religion, you know, they see God as untouchable, unapproachable. You know, that perhaps you need a priest or someone else to go to God for you. Right? But the truth is that as his kids, we have access to God. Right? He wants that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with who? The Father, with God. And with his Son, Jesus Christ." Right? We can have fellowship with God Almighty. Right? And fellowship is full sharing. We can share fully with God. We can go to God with whatever it is in our lives. We can share that fully with him. God's not going to look at us and be like, "Well, that's dumb. Why are they asking me about that? Or that's silly. They can take care of that themselves." Right? God wants us to share fully with him. He wants to hear about when things are really great with us. And he wants to hear about when we have a need. Right? We talked about it last week. God knows what we need already before we even ask. But he wants fellowship with you. He wants you to share that with him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. So if we're going to walk and we're going to talk with God, we got to know that he wants that, that it's important to him, that it's available to have fellowship and full sharing with him. We can't think about God as, you know, this distant thing. He's right there with us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "For through him," through his son Jesus Christ, "we both," in the context here is Jew and Gentile, "have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Right? So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're a born again son of God, you have access to God. You have access to him. You don't have to go through someone else. You don't have to make an appointment with the secretary. You have access to God. And in chapter 3, verse 3:12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him," faith of Jesus Christ. So we have bold and confident access to God, right? We don't need to kind of timidly come to him. He's not some unreachable entity that we have to make an appointment to see, but we have access and we can have bold access. We can, you know, the open door policy. We can march right in and talk to him, right? That's what God wants for our lives. So when it comes to walking and talking with God, we should act like that's the kind of access we have, because it's true. It's what we have. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. You know, it's not a situation where it'd be like, "Oh, God, you know, if it's not too much trouble, could you please, you know," we have boldness. We have confidence. We can go to God and just say, "Hey, this is what's going on in my life. You know, I need help." In Mark chapter 1, verse 32, it says, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him," Jesus Christ, "all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door." So you got to picture this, right? It's evening time. You know, sun's gone down. Everybody's tired, brushing their teeth, getting ready for bed. The whole city is gathered at the door. They're outside where Jesus was residing, looking to get delivered. In verse 34, "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. And he cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he did what?"
Pray.
He prayed. He prayed. Now, we know that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, right? But if we think about these verses, verses 32 through 34, and we kind of relate them to our own life, you can, you know, replace all of that with what goes on in our own lives, right? We all have busy lives. We go to work. We have kids. We do chores. We have relationships to tend to. We go to school, right? There's a lot that we have to do during a day. And it's important for us to decide what kind of time do we have for God, right? If we want to walk and talk with him, then we have to make that a priority in our lives. And here Jesus Christ was at the end of the day. The sun did set. And just a whole city is outside your house, right? And they need help. You know, it's not like in 30 seconds he took care of the whole city, right? I'm sure that went well into the night. And then on top of that, you know, let's say you didn't get to bed till 1 a.m. because you're healing the whole city. And in verse 35, it says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, a great while before the sun comes up. He goes out so that he can have that time with God, right? So for him, it was all about making time for God, right? His life was always busy, but he had to have that time with God in order to be successful, right? In order to have a relationship with God. Worst case scenario, right, is you don't have time for God at all, right? But day's too busy. I can't make time for God, right? That's not obviously where we want to be. It's hard to walk and talk with someone if you don't make time for them, right? It's really hard to walk and talk with somebody if they don't want you around, but the good news is God wants us around. It's also really hard to walk and talk with somebody if you don't make time for it, right? You got to do your part. So a step up is, how do I fit God into this schedule, right? How do I fit God into my busy life and everything that I have to do today, right? And that's a start, but I think even better is, how do I include God in what I'm doing, right? How do I include God in my life and what I'm doing all the time, right? And that's when things really are humming. You can get so busy in life that you set aside the 15 minutes in the morning to read the word or pray, and then you say goodnight to him at the end of the day, right? That's a start, but we want to include God if we're going to walk and talk with him, right? We want him to be there at each interval of our day, right? So then he's first. Then he's at the center of what you're doing because you're including him. And that's how you really get to a point where you're walking and talking with God, right? That he's included. He's involved constantly in what you're doing, right? So your relationship with God is strong because he's included in what you're doing day by day, right? And that's all just about building godly habits, right? A lot of, you know, what's involved in a walk and a talk with God and doing the word is just building those godly habits. So like when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? Do you say hi to God? Do you pray? Do you acknowledge him? Right? I built a habit of pop up out of bed, chug my glass of water, and I say good morning to God. Thank him for the day. Start speaking in tongues, right? Just recognizing God right off the bat helps you to start keeping him included throughout the day, right? That's something that you can do. When you get ready with your family in the morning, do you get together and pray? Do you carve out that time together to pray to God for the day, to set things up? That's a good habit to get into, right? If you're running errands or you're at work, are you including God? Are you asking him, who can I speak the word to today? How can I do this task better? What's something I need to be aware of or watch out for, right? Your job, your errands, all that stuff is going to be a lot easier if you include God, because he'll start to show you things to bless you, right? For him to show you something, but you have to include him, right? You have to make it a priority to talk things over with him, because sometimes it's really easy to get super involved in that task and forget about God, right? You want to include him. And you want to find time to get into the word, even just a little every day, whether that's sitting down and actually reading it, throwing on a teaching, listening to it in the car, or, you know, when you do an activity during the day, you know, every morning I throw my earbuds in and I start listening to teachings online while I empty the dishwasher, while I get ready and get dressed, right? Just feeding your head the word, right? It's a good way to get to this point where God is a part of what you're doing, right? Speaking in tongues. Another thing you can do through a lot of different activities is just speak in tongues while you do things. And praying a lot, right? Literally talking out loud to God as part of your day. If you're just in the car or by yourself, it's okay. You're not crazy. You can talk to God. He's real. He's there, right? You can say it out loud. You can thank him for whatever's going on. You can ask him to show you something. It's about including. There's a lot of little things that you can do, but you build it as a habit, right? Because it's easy. The world is conditioning you to try to get it all done yourself and figure it all out yourself. Make it so busy that you don't think about God. But if you include him as a habit, then it just becomes second nature, right? And then he's always there. And that's when you're literally walking and talking with God, right? That's how it's done. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, 1. Because guess what? That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants people to worship him. And a form of worship is prayer. A form of worship is praising God. That's all included in what you're doing to include God. He seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship him in spirit? Speaking in tongues. Right. So build a habit of that. That's what blesses God. That's what he wants. It says in Hebrews that he's a rewarder of those who seek him how?
Diligently.
That's right. Diligently. Right? And diligently means you do it a lot. You know, it's a part of your daily routine and habit pattern to seek him a lot. Acknowledge who he is, what he's doing for you. Romans 8:1. Here's another key. There is therefore now lots of condemnation. Because we should feel bad about ourselves. No, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in who? Christ Jesus. Is that you and me? So do we have any condemnation? No, we don't need to. God doesn't condemn you. And so you don't need to condemn yourself. And this is a key because when you first start getting into these habits, you're going to screw up. It's just part of learning how to walk. You learn how to walk by getting up on your 2 feet and falling repeatedly, right? And if you just gave up and said, this is too hard, I can't do it, I'm a little baby, wham, 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 you would never walk. You would forever crawl around, right? But that's not what babies do. They just keep getting up and walking again, right? Do babies go, I'm the worst baby ever, I can't do this? Do they condemn themselves when they fall over? No, they get back up and they keep walking. And they keep trying until the feet end up in front of each other and they're good. Right? And so it's the same way with our spiritual walk. We shouldn't condemn ourselves if we screw up. We're learning how to walk spiritually. Right? And that means walking out and trying something. If you get a thought in your head that you should do something, unless it's completely ridiculous and off the word or dangerous, try doing it, right? Even if it seems like, well, why, that's a dumb thought, why should I do that? Because maybe God's working in you, right? But you don't know until you actually walk out and do it. And then you get to understand when God is working with you and walking with you, right? The more you do it, the better you get at it. The more easy it is to recognize that's God talking to me. He's showing me to do something here, right? But if you just decide, that's dumb, or if you, even better, are brave enough to try it and dare to go for it, and then you screw up and it wasn't anything, you beat yourself up about it and you go, oh, I'm never doing that again, it didn't work out, then you're not going to, you know, get to that comfortable position where you're walking with God, right? We have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and stumbling. Right? Doing things that are out of our comfort zone because it might be what God is showing you to do. Right? There's no condemnation. God is for you. Right? God is for you. He's on your side. It says that later in the chapter. Right? He's on your side. He's for you. Right? He wants you to succeed. He wants to see you put those feet in front of each other and walk. Right? So we just have to be okay with it. We have to be okay with giving it a shot and screwing up a few times. But if you keep doing it, then you'll get better at it. If you're wrong, so what? Who cares? God doesn't care. He really doesn't. And with time and practice, you won't screw up, right? You won't screw up. Go to Acts chapter 8. But that's how we learn to walk. So if we want to walk and talk with God, we got to just do it. And we got to be okay with it. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So that's something that God, or through an angel, through a messenger, told Philip to do. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's a decent journey. And it's a place that's apparently a desert, of all places. So, can you imagine God saying to you, all right, today get in your car and drive to this middle of nowhere place? You might go, that was a weird thought. What does God want me to do in the middle of the Pine Barrens? I probably shouldn't drive to the middle of the Pine Barrens. I've got other things to do today, right? Now, I'm not suggesting if you get the thought to drive to the middle of Pine Barrens that you should just always do it, right? But you've got to learn to recognize when God's talking to you. And the key here is that in verse 27, it says, and he arose and what?
He went.
He obeyed. Right? So when God shows you to do something, you obey. You walk out on it and you do it, right? And we know the rest of the record there, right? He met the Ethiopian eunuch guy and was able to witness to him and show him the word. And then God teleported him back home, okay? I mean, cool stuff, right? It was a long journey out there. God could have said, here, I'm going to dump you in the middle of nowhere. But he asked him to do something, to walk out and to do it. And he obeyed. And then after he obeyed, God said, okay, I'll give you a free ride home. Just cool. Right? God's going to bless you when you carry out his word. But you got to listen and you got to obey. Right? A walk with God means being ready to listen and obey. Go to Luke 16. Now, obviously, Philip was a confident believer. He knew in his walk with God so that when he was told, walk into the middle of this desert area, he knew to do it. And that's what I mean. As we do it more, we'll get that same confidence so that when he does tell us to drive into the middle of the Pine Barrens, we know that's what he wants me to do. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what?
Much.
So if we want God to give us much, to put much on our plate, right? To give us that responsibility to carry out big things for him, then we have to be faithful in the little stuff first, right? We have to be faithful in the little stuff first. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much, right? So if we're going to be faithful in the big stuff, we got to be faithful about the little stuff, right? We got to build those habits, right? We start including God in all these different little areas of our life. That's being faithful in the little stuff. Let's start with that stuff. Let's build up those habits and that stuff. And then we'll be faithful in the big stuff. Then God will hand you big stuff, right? So we got to start with the little things and God's going to honor you with more, right? Because he sees that you're faithful to do the little things. And then he gives you bigger jobs to do. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. So when we walk and we talk with God, we got to really recognize that, A, that's what he wants. He wants to fellowship with us. We need to feel like we have the total right and privilege to go to him, to talk with him, to be bold in front of him, to praise him, to include him in our lives. And we got to build those habits, those godly habits of doing it. And that takes effort. And we can't beat ourselves up when we screw up, you know? Oh, I forgot to pray this morning. I didn't find time. At the end of the day, I didn't find time to get into His Word. Okay, great. So do it tomorrow. Right? Don't beat yourself up about it. But just make it a habit. And in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. That's who's really something. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, they're the same. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we, you and me, are laborers together with who? With God. We're laborers together with God. We are fellow laborers with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, right? You are who God has, right? You are the ones that God has. He did not give the ministry of reconciliation to the angels. He didn't. The angels don't go around speaking God's word. That's not who he entrusted it to. He entrusted it to you and me, right? That's who the ministry was given to. It's up to us to do these things, to carry out God's will. So when we look at God's word and we see the things that he wants us to do in this life, right? There's tons of things he wants us to do in his word, right? He wants us to pray. He wants us to speak in tongues. He wants us to study his word. He wants us to move his word, to speak his word, to operate the manifestations. He wants us to operate the gift ministries if we have them. Whatever it is, there's tons of stuff in here that God wants us to do, right? We're fellow laborers with him. We are who he has to carry out these things. So when we walk and talk with God, we've got to know that this is what he wants. He wants us to be a part of this. He wants us to be included. And he wants us to include him in our lives as we walk and talk with him.